Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. My guest this episode, the Willie T. Ribs and Nate Adams. Spoke with them on Friday at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That was the day before the debut of Uppity, the brand new documentary on the lifetimes, successes, and trials of Willie T. Ribs. That was put together, produced by Nate Adams. Nate, he and Adam Carolla work together closely, have done a couple of amazing racing documentaries. As you might have seen me post on social media, the premiere Saturday night, the night before the Indy 500, was rather amazing, done there at the Museum of Art in Indianapolis. I'm in too much of the movie, so definitely thumbs down to Nate. Bad producing choice there, but all stupidity aside, on my part at least, I'd seen it in November, knew how powerful it was, and even though I knew what was coming in for the majority of the movie here, I still cried a couple times. So I'm either a big old fluffy marshmallow of a man, or they did a really amazing job of presenting honest and true emotion in this documentary. So, spoke with Willie and with Nate. Willie uncorks an amazing story, one he hadn't told apparently before. Nate gets a little bit upset at him, rightfully so. And anyways, we're at Indy. It's a little bit loud with a lot of things going on. It was carb day, so apologize if this wasn't a perfect booth setting. But, you know, it is what it is. We're at the racetrack. Noises are happening. Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And, just part of the ambiance. I don't think it's going to happen in this episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, but it should be happening here shortly. Podbean, which is the host for my podcast and many, many others that you hopefully listen to, they have this new automated feature called Pod Ads, and was curious about what it was. And it turns out that they have a new automated feature that you can opt into, and it's essentially a case where advertisers looking for the right podcasts to promote whatever it is they have to promote, they'll speak with Podbean, say, hey, we're in this market, we're looking for this demographic, whatever it is, can you point us towards a couple of podcasts that we might like? And then with Podbean acting as the intermediary, discussions go back and forth, and the podcaster and advertiser decide whether they do or don't want to work together. So I mention all this because we're about to kick off a four-month campaign, and this is pretty cool, and I won't mention the name of the sponsor, but Podbean reached out and said, hey, there's a sponsor involved in the Verizon IndyCar series. They're involved with a team. They like your podcast specifically and are wondering if you would be open to having them included in advertisements run in each episode. To which I said, well, let's talk. So I'm hoping this will be kicking off here shortly within the next couple of days. It's meant to run from June through September, the end of the season. I'm hoping they won't be too intrusive. There'll usually be one early on in the episode, probably the first couple minutes, and then one somewhere around the middle of each episode. Anyways, I gotta tell you, I was kind of tickled when I found out who the advertiser was after about 20 emails back and forth, and I'm hoping that they enjoy this, and I'm hoping you enjoyed them deciding that of all the places they could support, they decided my little Marshall Pruitt podcast, which is just now 2 years old. We celebrated the 2 year anniversary just this May of 2018. And as you might have seen me tweet out, we also happened to cross the 1.5 million episode download mark since the podcast was launched in May of 2016. So again, small numbers compared to a Joe Rogan, Mark Maron, Adam Carolla, you know, the giants of, call it non-specific podcasting, but at least in our little world of racing podcasts, I have to thank you all immensely for doing some really good numbers for me, and having an advertiser here say, hey, we like what you're doing, we want to get on board and do a four-month campaign. So them, along with Cooper Tires, that's been with us from the beginning of the year, to Bell Racing Helmets, that was with us for the month of May. Just, again, thank you all. It's a little bit of a longer intro than I normally do, but I did want to bring the upcoming little campaign thing here, so you aren't surprised when you hear those drop in. They are going to be automated, so that's the only thing where I won't be reading them organically, but I will be reading them, so you'll just hear my voice pop in probably twice an episode. Bottom line, thank you. Seriously, just thank you for listening, spreading the word, and it's good to know we're going to get to do this a little bit longer, because we're getting some support to make sure that that happens. All right, you can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes and on Podbean, which would be kind of silly if you couldn't get it on Podbean, considering everything I just mentioned. Also, we post every episode right away on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page as I talk in second and third and fourth person. And with all that said, let's get going with Willie T. Ribbs, super producer Nate Adams, in a conversation about the new documentary, which will be coming out in wider distribution, I believe, according to Willie, who I saw on my flight home from Indianapolis, who said there was someone in the audience for the debut who said, aha, I want to bring this to a wider arena. So hopefully you'll get to see all that. Otherwise, you can check out chassis.com. C-H-A-S-S-Y, that is Adam Carolla and Nate Adams' website for what they do, which will have more info on the availability of Uppity.
I heard they made some movie about you, Willie. What did you do? What did you do to get them to make a movie? Now, all kidding aside, I know how much this means to you.
I was uppity.
I think.
I was uppity.
Was? Yeah. You're past tense, Nate. The it's already started.
He's still up, at least.
Obviously, we have Saturday night, the premiere of the movie here at Indianapolis, documentary done by Nate, Adam Carolla, a bunch of great folks. But as I mentioned to you when I first saw you, when they're doing documentaries about you, you're either dead, you've done something phenomenal, or you've done something infamous. We can take the dead off the list, but I think you might be in the category of the other two. Well, kidding aside, how does this feel?
Well, I still got a pulse, Marshall, and it was a great ride, as Paul Newman used to say, and it wasn't a red carpet ride, but it was a ride that I would do over again every time, and I liked the challenges that I had to deal with, and I knew I was a great driver. I knew I could win races, but, you know, to deal with all the distractions, the death threats, the N-word, all that went with it, it was actually sort of fun.
So I'm going to ask the really stupid follow-up question, Nate. Doesn't sound like there's much there at all to make into a documentary.
No.
I mean, this is kind of the living, perfect example of motor racing to say your life has been so varied.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the documentary made itself, but it's not like you were struggling to come up with
the
plot
first,
ideas.
The first rough cut was 4.5 hours long. there was a... There wasn't a lack of material. We'll say that. I learned something new today that he just told me that I was like, how dare you not tell me that in the 12-hour interview I did with you, where when he was in England, he ran out of money, so he used to have to box in bars to make money.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, and I was like, why would you not tell me that? Why? It's such a great story. I was like, why would you not tell me that part of it?
Well, Jeremy Shaw, who is from England, he was the first person in motorsports as a rider to write the name Willie T. Ribbs. And so I lived with him for a month, and my parents sent me enough money to race, but I had to have money to eat. So I went into Friday night fights in smoky bars, and you got in a ring, and the patrons bet on whoever was going to win. And that's how I made money to eat.
So that would have been a good part of the story,
That would have been a good
right?
part of the story,
I mean,
Ribs. Come on,
part
man.
Of the struggle. Yeah, I'm like, why would you not tell me that?
I forgot.
Yeah. Really? See, when your career is enough amazing things that happen when you forget about something. By the way, I used to have to fight to make money before anyone ever did the UFC or, you know, any of that stuff.
And I mean, after about the fourth time, about the fourth Friday night, they wouldn't let me do it anymore. They were like, okay, they knew my name by then, and there was this colored Yank is coming in here and knocking out our drunks. So they said, no more. Nobody wants to drink our booze anymore.
Wow.
So they quit drinking so they could fight better, and it was costing the pub money.
That we already have the DVD Blu-ray extras here starting to develop.
And
I also have to wonder what it's like trying to drive a race car with swollen knuckles and whatever else the next day.
They didn't last long.
Okay.
Oh, no, those guys were – I didn't drink, and they did. So, you know, it was fun.
So, Nate, tell me about assembling this product, because you've been trying to put this together for quite some time. It's taken a good while to assemble it all. Knowing the history of what you, Adam, the production company, has created beforehand, again, with whether it's the Le Mans documentary, the Ford versus Ferrari, whether it's Paul Newman doc, just a lot of the great work you guys have already done, it's not as if this is a three-month project. This is like a feature film type treatment, isn't it?
This has really been kind of 4 years in the making in a way, because I interviewed Willie for winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman.
Yeah.
And when I interviewed him, I came back to L.A. and I was like, Adam, we have a new documentary that we're going to do on this guy, Willie T. Ribbs. And then Adam listened to it and he's like, absolutely, this is fantastic. And people would single Willie's segment in the Paul Newman documentary out as, who's that guy?
The electricity it came up, yeah, for sure. I mean, and for those who didn't know you, all of a sudden there's this really compelling character that I think too many folks were learning about for the first time.
Yeah, I literally went on CBS Saturday Morning to promote the Paul Newman documentary, and the first question the woman asked me was, who is Willie T. Ribbs? And I was like, hey, okay. So,
wow.
You know, that's something that leaves an impression when he's like 4 minutes of a 90-minute documentary on Paul Newman and people remember. That has Robert Redford and Patrick Dempsey and Jay Leno and all these other people, but people remember Willie. And it's just, you know, his story, there are so many twists and turns and ups and downs, and, you know, it's like a movie. And the way that we cut the documentary is exactly structurally like a feature film. And that's how it plays. And everyone we've showed it to has had a very powerful reaction. We're already in talks with some people in Hollywood to do some other larger things with it. And it's, you know, it will leave you emotional at the end, unless you don't have a pulse. You know, if you have an interest in racing, you'll be very emotional by the end of this story.
Where does the creation of this documentary, Willie, fit in your other life's arc or career's arc? Right, this could be something some folks might take this as, aha, now look how wonderful I am. I've had the spotlight cast in my direction. Others might say, cool, maybe now more of my story. Maybe some of the parts, of the less savory parts that folks either didn't want to cover or otherwise, maybe a fuller picture of who I am is out, and that's less of a self-promotional aspect, just more of a truth in who you are. Which, do you fall in any of those directions in reaction to this?
I have no future thoughts about where this will lead, and, you know, everything was right in front of me. Every episode in my career that was pertinent, right? And from the time I grew up, I mean, when I went down and did NASCAR, they didn't have any idea where I was from, what kind of family I came from. And one of the old one of the old mechanics from a stock car team came up to me and he says, Willie, you know, you down here and you have to remember that a lot of these drivers, most of them have never been around colored folks.
Mm.
I said, well, you know, neither have I. And he looked at me And, he looked at me confused. I said, I didn't come out of the ghetto. I came from a pretty successful family in San Jose, California, that is 0.1% African-American.
Yeah.
So I was the only black kid in class.
Yeah.
My whole, from kindergarten right through high school. So I didn't know I was black.
A lot of folks reminded you, though.
Oh, yeah. No, where my family, the way they raised us, I mean, it was very strict, and it was very hardworking. And they focused on success, and that was it, and hard work. It's not until you get out in the world that people tell you or who they think you are.
One thing folks might not fully grasp, Willie, is at least from where you and I are from in the Bay Area, the dynamic you just described is not abnormal, meaning we're the Filipino family, we're the Argentinian family, we're proud of who we are. We might be in the minority in whatever pocket of the Bay Area we are in, but that pride of self, pride of family, more the norm than, oh, I'm in a region where maybe those things would not be accepted or tolerated. I better fall back and be quiet. You coming from a proud family, albeit, you know, among the only black families in your area, that's not abnormal. And so among the many things I find interesting that's also portrayed in the documentary is the sense of, I was raised by a good family. These are good, hardworking people, smart people. Do you expect me to tailor who I am to your expectations of what I should be in your racing series, in your state, in your region? That's another big and powerful part here, and I don't want to give away too much, but the fact that you transport who you are wherever you went, there's strength in that.
Well, and because of the real tough family background that I came, I mean, there was my grandfather was my hero. He was my idol. And he was very concerned about how you represented yourself, not just how hard you worked, but you didn't turn the other cheek, okay? And he used to say that. When you're in the right, you don't turn the other cheek. If you're in the wrong, you got no cheek. So when I got out in the world, and especially some parts of the country where I was racing, I was called uppity. How does he come in here and he thinks he's like us? Why does he think that he's on an equal playing field or should be on an equal playing field with us? And when I was forcing that issue, that I'm not going to be treated with a double standard, I developed the title, Uppity. And, you know, there was a few fist fights along the way, but that was all part of the trail. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that challenge.
You are uniquely built for that challenge. There's not a lot of people who would consistently stand up and hold the line. A lot of folks who micro-retired say, okay, whatever. This isn't where I'm wanted. I'll go someplace where it's just easier.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to be me.
And a lot of drivers, Marshall, a lot of drivers have said to me, and Pete Halsmer was one of them. I'll never forget that. He said to me, Willie, he says, he smiled and shook his head. He says, I don't think I could deal with what you had to deal with.
Mm.
Said it in Mid-Ohio, 1988.
Wow.
In the pits, right before the race, he just shook his head. He says, you're a tough ass because I couldn't have dealt with it.
Nate, let's close on treatment for this documentary. You could have gone hardcore celebrated race car driver. You could have gone hardcore, I don't want to say either social statement. You could have played something more in the middle without pushing any comfort zones on either side. How did you decide the correct way to weave through, admittedly, a lot of different worlds that surrounded Willie and his career?
I always try to tell the truth and find the heart of the story. For me, it's always about the story. And, you know, Willie was a fascinating character to me, you know, and the way, I mean, when he raced, he was the only black driver. There wasn't anyone else to go, you know, there wasn't a Lewis Hamilton, there wasn't an anybody. There wasn't a Bubba Wallace, there was nobody.
Yep.
It was just Willie, and that was it. So, you know, to go, and especially, like, I loved the characters that followed Willie along his journey, like Humpy Wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, that name doesn't even... that sounds like a made-up character.
It does.
That's not a made-up character. That's a very famous promoter of the Charlotte Motor Speedway who was hilarious in this documentary, and he tried to bring Willie into NASCAR in, I think it was 1977. And, you know, for Willie to try to go into NASCAR in 1977, now it's a little rough. Imagine, you know, 40 years ago, what's going to happen. I mean...
Well, when he called me,
yeah,
he said the Civil War is over down here. When I landed, I could still smell smoke.
Oh, right. Lord.
Yeah, but his whole career, you know, it
look at the nice crosses they've made for you.
Because a lot of the films we've seen, you know, like 42, you know, the way they portray Jackie Robinson in 42, whether it was just for the movie or how he actually was in life, I don't know that much about that story. But Willie was not that guy. He was not the guy who was going to, you know, put his head down and say, okay, sir, I'll do it your way. That wasn't how it was going to go.
Receive the slings and arrows.
You know, yeah. he was going to stand up and say, and it's, this line's in the doc where he says, you're not better than me because of the color of your skin. I'm just as good a driver as you. And if you don't want me in your sport, then beat me. And that was the attitude that he took. And I found it very powerful to have someone just say, great, if you want me out of the sport, it's easy to get me out. Just beat me in the races.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna bring me back anymore. But they couldn't beat him in the races. So they couldn't get him out. I mean, and believe me, it wasn't for lack of people trying along the way. So it's, you know, and it's, there are so many, there it is a social film in a way. You can't get away from that part of it. Because what Willie had to deal with is different than any other driver, because he was walking into a place and he's just different, and that's just the way it is. You know, it you can say whatever you want to. People can say this. They can say, "I don't see color. I don't do this. I don't do the." I don't think that's real. I think whether you like it or not, you do. And you know. He had to deal with things that no other driver dealt with, and that's just a fact. And I don't, you know, there's, you know, and the guys who raced with him that I interviewed, from Bernie Ecclestone to Bobby Unser to Al Unser Jr. to David Hobbs, Wally Dallenbach, they all knew that. They knew that it wasn't the same as it was for them. It wasn't the same. It just wasn't. And they could tell because they heard the mechanics. They knew what people called him when he wasn't there, you know. It was, and you knew that as well, Marshall, because you were there. You know, you were right in it. So you know as well as anyone. And it's just, you know, it takes a lot of fortitude and it takes a lot of guts to get up every day and keep walking back into the track. You know, because you know not everyone's smiling at you going, hey, how are you and good morning. They're not. They're not happy to see you there. You know. So it takes a different kind of person to walk into that environment and say, I'm here because I love the sport and I love the drive.
I get that every day, and I'm just a generic white guy. So, all right, Saturday night, the premiere of Uppity here in Indianapolis. I will apologize to those in advance who see my ugly mug in it. Those are the parts to go get your popcorn, take a leak or something. But
you did
can't
a great
wait.
Job, Marshall.
No, don't
Marshall's
start
great
that silliness.
Doc, so.
I'm just so happy for you, Willie.
Well,
that you got
told,
this.
You told a powerful story in there, and this is absolutely real. I mean, every word that came out of your mouth was reality. Every word, everything in it, it was total reality. And I think that's what is going to make it a powerful piece.
Have you already gotten them thinking about the Theo ribs story yet? You know, I mean, you know.
Exactly.
A little something.
And I'll tell you, from interviewing everyone, you know, for this documentary, there's a lot of people who, you know, want to protect their reputation because they don't want to, you know, they still work in racing and they don't want to admit, oh, people called Willie the N-word. And, you know, one of the things I appreciated from Marshall is the candor of, yeah, they did, you know, and he knew it. And there were a few other people who were willing to go, yeah, everyone called him that. And there were other people who were like, no, gee, I don't know. And it's like, come on. So it was very interesting for me interviewing everyone, you know, about the actual subject of race to get the different, you know, people who were afraid, you know, because they have a job and they're like, oh, I don't want to mess this up. So it was very interesting.
You got a real story to tell. Gents, thank you again.
And you can pre-order this on chassis.com, chassy.com. And yeah, I don't receive a dime of it. I'm not involved in anything relating to that. I was just a monkey who was interviewed and provided a little bit of footage and photos and whatnot. But I must say, I am proud of the fact that not only was this movie made, that Nate and Adam Carolla decided to make it with the 24-Hour Wars documentary that he made about the Ford-Ferrari battles at Le Mans in the 1960s. And then the follow-up movie after that, Paul Newman, His Racing Life. Those are hard to top already. And having watched both, loved both, I can say that what they've done with Uppity moves the bar even higher. And that's the thing that Nate mentioned to me, that you hope that you don't do things that are critically acclaimed or at least loved within the industry and follow it up with something where people go, oh, okay, nice, yeah. But you want folks to go, cool, each step, each decision is getting better. And I think, A, that not only happened here, clearly with Uppity, but I like the fact that this movie, I mean, look, Ford, Ferrari, 1960s, Le Mans, it sells itself. Books have been written, best-selling books have been written. This is a well-known thread, well-known theme. Taking nothing away from Carolla and Adams, had anybody with vague directing and production sensibilities made that documentary, it would have done well. You could almost say the same about the Paul Newman doc. The fact that it is Paul Newman is going to bring in a natural audience, natural interest for that. Uppity isn't one of those. Uppity is one where, you know, if you were around racing in a certain era, you knew Willie T, you knew his story, but it hasn't been told a ton since. He wasn't a huge champion upon champion that was in everybody's living rooms and newspapers and magazines. And knowing that Willie was, without question, a very controversial character, someone who pushed back, someone who would not bow his head, someone who was very outspoken at a time where outspokenness among African Americans was not particularly well accepted. Again, this is someone who, by comparison, was not going to be an automatic draw. And so I think with what they've done here, the quality of what they have created, should hopefully move them into a new register where it doesn't have to have a well-known hook to get you in to watch it. They can pick people or topics that are maybe outside the expected norm and do a fairly phenomenal job. All right, well, that's enough words from me for right now. This is our first podcast of June, and I'm hoping that you will enjoy the rest that follow. I am Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast presented by Cooper Tires. Thank you for listening.